The text of Scripture that we want to really base our message upon today is verses 17, 18, and 19 of 1 Kings chapter number 21. Let me read those verses with you again. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. And behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." The 1 Kings chapter 21, it really records the story of Naboth's vineyard, a vital chapter in the life of Elijah, the servant of God. We're told here about Ahab, king of Israel, and he covets the vineyard of Naboth, which lay close by his own palace. Despite the fact that Ahab himself was a king, despite the fact that he himself had much by way of possessions and no doubt wealth and property, Ahab was not content. He was discontented, and that's the mark of the ungodly. Ahab was not content. He wanted more. And in the chapter we're told how he tells Naboth that he will give him money for his vineyard, or if not, he will give him another property in exchange for Naboth's vineyard. But Naboth, he says no to this proposal from King Ahab. And following this, we're told of Jezebel, the king's wife, that she devises a wicked plot to bring Ahab into possession of Naboth's vineyard. Now, Jezebel is a woman in Scripture who is noted for her sin, her evil, her ungodliness. And my, she is an example of awful ungodliness in the Scripture. Not an example that any woman would ever want to follow in any shape or fashion. She was a most evil woman, and her plan really leads to the murder of Naboth. And then in turn, Ahab steals Naboth's vineyard for himself. Now, though Jezebel's evil scheme was unnoticed by many in the land, it did not go unnoticed by God, because God sees all things and God knows all things. Indeed, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And that was certainly the case with Ahab and Jezebel. Therefore, God sends Elijah, his servant and his prophet, with a message to King Ahab. It's a solemn message. It's a message of divine judgment upon Ahab, his household, because of his sin before Almighty God. And there we see the awful consequences of sin before God. How true the word of God is when it says, the wages of sin is death. And we read of that message to Ahab and his household in the words of our text this morning, verses 17, 18, and 19 of 1 Kings chapter 21. Where it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." It was a most solemn message that Elijah brings to King Ahab. Now, this whole episode here in the life of Elijah the prophet, some very, very important lessons for all God's people to note and to learn. And it is those lessons I want us to look at just briefly today. Notice, first of all, here how there is a lesson regarding the matter of allurements in the believer's life. And you see this whenever you think of Ahab's demand to Naboth to take his vineyard. Look at verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it and money." And if you go down to the very next verse, verse number 3, it tells us there how Naboth, he said no to this proposal from King Ahab. This is because his vineyard was part of his God-given heritage. Look at what he says there in verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give," notice it, "the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And whenever you and I, we think of this demand of Ahab upon Naboth to give up his vineyard and to give up his God-given heritage, it is really a picture, if you like, a reminder of the demands that are put upon many Christians by the allurements of the world and the flesh and the devil. And my, such allurements are used to rob the believer of God's blessing. They're used to rob the believer of God's heritage in their life. They are used to rob the believer of God's best for them in the scene of time. They are used to rob the believer of usefulness in the work of God and in the service of the Master. Now you think today of the allurement of the world upon Lot, the nephew of Abraham. What effect it had upon Lot. It caused Lot, where the Bible tells us, to pitch his tent toward Sodom. And in that wicked place, the Bible speaks of Lot, and it says, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. The allurement of the world had a detrimental effect upon Lot and upon his family. You think also this morning of David, the psalmist of Israel. Think of the allurement of the flesh upon his life. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, you can read about it there. It led to idleness in his life. And then following on from that, it led to the terrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel 11 says, "But David tarried still at Jerusalem, when he should have been out fighting the Lord's battles with his men in the battlefield. He was at home idle." And then the devil steps in and leads him into awful sin. Verse 2 says, "And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." And from that, David was led into sin, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And it was to reap havoc in David's life and in David's home and family for years to come, right to the very end of David's days upon this earth. Oh, the allurement of the flesh had a detrimental effect upon David, that man, the sweet psalmist of Israel, who had been blessed and used of God in the slaying of Goliath. And then you think also, dear people, even of Christ, our Savior, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. You can read about it there in the opening verses. How the devil comes to Christ to tempt him, to worship him, to bow down to him, and to obey him. But Christ, as we know, was sinless. He was impeccable. And he overcome that temptation. He said no. The devil could not tempt him one iota to commit sin, but he was victorious. But nonetheless, it highlights the fact of the attack of the devil, not only upon Christ, but upon the people of God and the church of God. Child of God, the world, the flesh, and the devil will always be against you in this life, in this world, in the scene of time. And such will always seek to allure you into sin. Make no mistake about that. Into a pathway that is contrary to God, completely opposed to the ways of God and the Word of God. Therefore, Christian, when the allurement of the world and the flesh and the devil presses in upon you, always say no. And just like Naboth, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible says, love not the world. It says, be not conformed to this world, Don't be controlled by the evil spirit of this ungodly world. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Believer, follow the example of Naboth. Follow his example. And say no surrender to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. Yes, there is a lesson here about allurements in the believer's life. Notice something else here from the passage. There's also a lesson here regarding obedience in the believer's life. Look again there at 1 Kings chapter 21 and the verse number 3. And you see this here in Naboth's refusal of Ahab's demand for his vineyard. It says there in verse 3 of 1 Kings 21, and Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Notice those words, "The Lord forbid it me." And there you see how God's law, God's word, it forbade Israel to give away their God-given heritage. This was the decree of God for his people. In Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse number 23, the Lord there is speaking to his people Israel. And it says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me." And there you see how Naboth was steadfast in obeying the word of the Lord in this occasion in his life. He said, "God forbid it me, Ahab, that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And believer, let us learn from this. Believer in Christ this morning, this is the example that you and I must always follow. When you and I, when we are faced with choices in life, choices in home, work, business, relationships, whatever, in God's work, we must always honor the Word of God. We must always obey the truth of God's Word. The Bible says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Think of the words of the old hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy than Jesus, but to trust and obey." Dear people of God, in the meeting this morning, when it comes to the matter of support and indeed the promotion of sodomy and abortion and transgenderism, these things are so much to the fore in our society today as God's people. You and I, we must always say no. You and I, we must always stand for the Word of God. God has made it very clear in His Word that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Bible tells us that sodomy is an abomination in the sight of God. The sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." We are to preserve life. We're not to take life. And what is abortion? It's the murder, the slaying of children in the womb before they've ever seen the light of this world. And again, transgenderism that is so much to the fore is completely contrary to the ways of God. The Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. I was reading just an account the other day of a Christian doctor over in England, in his business, in his profession. Somebody that he was dealing with as a patient would not declare themselves to be either male or female. It must have been from Mars or somewhere else. He wouldn't go down that line, and he put it down on the sheet, whatever a doctor does with a patient when they come in to their surgery, of their biological gender. That doctor now is facing discipline in his work because of his stand for the Word of God. But he was right in saying no to the evil spirit of the age and the world that is coming so much to the fore today, especially upon our children and our young people in our society. Also, dear people of God, when it comes to the matter of ecumenism and worship with other false religions, you and I, we must also say no. The Bible says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And young people in our meeting this morning, when it comes to marriage and comes to relationship, always say no to the unequal yoke if you are saved by the grace of God in this meeting. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. My, when it comes to the Lord's Day, the keeping of the Sabbath, remember the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. My, when it comes to serving the Lord and witnessing for Him, we must heed the words of Christ. It says in the Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness. It says in the book of the Acts, the Lord says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Turn in your Bible, please, over to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And look at the response of Peter and John, two of the apostles, to the spirit of the world in their day to stop witnessing for Christ. And then the same spirit really of Naboth. Look at verse number 20 of Acts chapter 4. And they were forbidden by the Jewish authorities to preach or speak any more in the name of Christ. But look at their response in verse 20 of Acts chapter 4. They said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were faithful in witnessing for the Lord and obeying the Lord. Oh, let us be those also, dear people, who obey the Lord, His word, His truth, His standards, His old paths in our day and generation. Notice something else from 1 Kings 21 this morning. Also here, there's a lesson for God's people regarding the matter of persecution in the believer's life. And may you see this here in Jezebel's treachery against Naboth for honoring the Lord and honoring the word of God. And if you look at the passage before you there, 1 Kings 21, you'll see there that Jezebel's plot against Naboth had consisted of her taunting her husband. Look at verse number 7 of the chapter. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, that's Ahab, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. And I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She was taunting her husband, something a wife should never do. And then you notice also that her plot had consisted of forgery, verse number 8. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling in Naboth. Her plot further consisted of hypocrisy, verse 9. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. She was pretending, as it were, that Naboth was esteemed among the people, and that was not the case for her. And then it consisted also her plot of perjury, verse number 10. And set two men, sons of Belial, before them to bear witness against them, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And then you'll see in conclusion her plot consisted of murder and of theft. Look at verse number 13 and verse 16. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Verse 16, and it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And there you see, dear people, how Naboth's testimony for God and for the truth of God, it was sealed with his own blood, with his own very life's blood. And believer, learn from this. When you seek to live for God, when you seek to honor God's word and do what's right in accordance with God's truth, the devil will attack you by way of opposition and by way of persecution. The Lord continually taught that to his disciples and reminded them of that very fact. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter number 15. John's Gospel, chapter number 15. And look at what Christ again says here to his disciples. John chapter 15 and verses 18, 19, and 20. Notice the warning he gives them. Verse 18 of John 15, he says, if the world hate you, he speaks of how the world would hate them, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world is no friend to Christ. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, notice the warning, they will also persecute you. And that just did not apply to the Lord's apostles, his disciples, but it applies to all God's people. It applies to the church of Christ right to the very end of time. Believer, if the world opposed Christ, crucified Christ, scorned Christ, the sinless Son of God who went about doing good, can you and I expect to be treated any differently from the world? The answer is no. Matthew Henry said, Christ's followers cannot expect better treatment in the world than their master had. And by this persecution of the believer from the ungodly world, it will only cease whenever Christ returns and when Christ puts down all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. You read through Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and there the Lord describes the scene in this world immediately prior to his return, and he warns there of an awful trouble, a great tribulation for the people of God and the church of Christ immediately prior to his return. And this is what he says in verse 21 of that chapter. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Yes, believer, trouble, tribulation, persecution from the ungodly will come our way. That is part and parcel of the believer's life here on earth. But believer, rejoice today through grace, through the grace of God. You and I can be steadfast for God. We can stand fast in the Lord and witness a good confession for Christ. The Bible says, be strong, believer, in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Lord, believer, says, my grace is sufficient for thee to stand for God and to live for him. Notice one final lesson here from 1 Kings 21, and that is regarding faithfulness in the believer's life. And you see this in Elijah's faithful warning to Ahab because of his sin. Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine? And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee. Because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon thee. I will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And there you see Elijah's faithfulness in conveying this message, this solemn message, not a popular message, to Ahab, to his house. You know, dear people, as it was with Elijah, so every believer, indeed every church, must be faithful in declaring the word of the Lord. You think of Paul's testimony regarding his ministry in the church at Ephesus. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in our service and in our witness for the Lord, yes, it is important, vitally important, that you and I tell of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace to sinners. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it is also equally important that we warn the ungodly of hell, the judgment to come, the lake of fire, the awful consequences and ruin that sin brings. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Remember what God said to his servant Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3. He said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Ezekiel was to warn the people of their sin and the awful consequences of their sin. You and I, we would think little of a doctor that did not warn us of some serious disease and the implications of that serious disease in our body. We would think little of a doctor who didn't warn us. Well, if we as God's people are not to have the blood of souls upon our hands, then when opportunity comes away, we must warn the sinner of their sin, of their great need personally for them to repent of their sin and to trust in Christ as Savior. The Lord says, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And that's what we're called to do as individuals. That's what we're called to do as a church, as a denomination. I go around funerals in different places and different churches, and many, many times there's no warning note sounded from the pulpit of sinners need to prepare to flee from the wrath to come unto Christ and to trust him. For salvation. You and I are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. By God's grace, let us be faithful and true to the word of God. Am I speaking to one here and you're unsaved in our meeting? It says in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You think of that question. Turn it over in your mind, unsaved friend, at our meeting this morning. Ask yourself the question, how shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation? The implication of that question is this: if you reject Christ, do not trust him as your Savior, and die in your sin, and you could die at any moment, your soul will be forever lost. There'll be no escaping for you from the wrath to come and the eternal punishment and judgment of God that awaits you because of your sin. Therefore, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When you have health and strength, opportunity, when you have the gift of all your faculties, I urge you today to flee to Christ, to put your trust in him. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross. Call upon him for your salvation. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 539. 539, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. 539. We're going to sing the first and the last verse, standing as we sing and singing it with all of our heart. 539, verses 1 and 4. Stand as we sing. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Bless the truths of Thy Word to our hearts, to our souls. Help us, Lord, in our day and generation, be it in our home, our workplace, our community, wherever Thou would have us to be in the providence of God. Help us, Lord, to stand up for Thee, for Thy Word, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Give us that spirit of Naboth, who said no to the allurement of this world and all that went with it. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Give us grace, having done all to stand, that we might witness a good confession, Lord, for Thee. And for any in our gathering today, and Lord, they're not saved, oh, may they heed the warning of Scripture, and may they flee today from the wrath to come before it is forever too late. And may they trust Christ and embrace Him as Savior, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen and amen.